Marina, and I think it will be best for both of us. But to go away from here, so soon after Mama's funeral, who will put flowers on her grave each week and tend to it? As she looked up at her father, she could see that to argue was futile. Although only 20 years old, tragedy had already blighted Marina's life. 6 awful weeks earlier, her beloved mother had suddenly been killed in a tragic riding accident. She had been staying at the country estate belonging to an aging relative who was ill when she decided to go out for a ride on an unfamiliar horse. The stable boy had warned her mother that the horse was a trifle feisty, but, being a highly competent rider, she had ignored him. She had been cantering along a hillside when a sudden shot from a nearby farmer's gun had alarmed the horse. He bolted, and she lost control. She fell off into a ditch as the horse plunged through a hedge. It was only because one of the ostlers had accompanied her that she was found as soon as she was. Sadly, her neck was broken, and she had died instantly. Marina remembered only too well the day that she had returned from a pleasant afternoon with her friend, Lady Henrietta d'Astouge, to find the servants weeping and the curtains in the drawing-room ominously closed. She had thought she might die from grief, and had found no comfort in her father, who had locked himself away until the day of the funeral. Marina had been forced to carry on and deal with all the arrangements as her father sat in his study and drank heavily. When he finally emerged the day before the funeral, he was a changed man. Although always strict, he now was cold and distant. Every attempt Marina had made to bridge the widening gap between them was rebuffed. She had never felt so alone in her life, and it was only through the support of her dear friends, Henrietta in particular, that she had kept on going. And now, only moments earlier, her father had stood there and told her that he could not bear to have her, his only daughter, around the house any longer. Marina's heart was breaking as her father turned his back on her and regarded the pale green walls. She wished fervently that her tears would move him, but it was quite clear that he could not even bear to look at her. She had often been told that she was the image of her mother, and now, it would seem, it was counting against her. After what seemed like an age, Sir Henry Fullerton turned around and, without meeting her imploring gaze, answered her. His voice was clipped and cold. His ice-blue eyes were without expression or warmth. "Putting flowers on your mama's grave will not bring her back, Marina. No, you must start your life afresh, and a stay in France would be most beneficial. You were always weak on languages, and now you will have the perfect chance to improve yourself. To this end, I have contacted a good family whom I have known for years. Monsieur and Madame Solange have written and expressed their willingness to give you a home for the foreseeable future. You should be grateful for such an opportunity."
"But Papa," implored Marina, falling to her knees, "I do not understand why I cannot stay here with you. Surely you will need me more than ever now that Mama is no longer with us."
Sir Henry's expression darkened, and Marina realized that she had taken one step too far. If there was one thing her father hated above all else, it was to be challenged once he had made up his mind. His fierce temper was not something she enjoyed provoking. "Daughter, do you dare to question my wisdom?" he fumed, his words heavy with threat. Although he had never laid a finger on Marina, she had grown more and more frightened of him and his unpredictable moods during these past few weeks. She had seen the way he snapped at the servants, even Frome, their butler, who had been her father's manservant long before he had married her mother, and how testy he was with Monty, the family dog. The poor, faithful, flat-coated retriever had found himself totally neglected by his master, and even now was being walked by Jonas, the footman, as her father appeared to have lost all interest in him.
"No, Papa," she replied after a long silence.
"Then I am glad to hear it. You will leave for France next Friday. I will make all the travel arrangements. Ellen, your maid, will be travelling with you as chaperone. It will not be seemly for a young girl to go alone."
"Yes, Papa."
"Very well. I have said all I wanted to. You may go."
Marina slowly rose from the floor, feeling utterly miserable. She gave her father one last imploring glance.